Well, we are, as Emily and Megan mentioned this morning, we are in Refresh. We are in a month of Refresh. And like a good holiday, which is refreshing to our physical bodies, refreshment of the spirit can really be such a wonderful time of reflection, of meditation on God's word, on reading his word, and on praying. And a really encouraging and uplifting time for us to be able to have that time together, have that time as an individual. And largely our focus so far over the last few weeks has been personal, has been on our own walk with God, our own time of refreshing, getting into the word ourselves and in prayer and meditation. But this morning, I want to share with us the refreshing that comes through a kind word and how important it is as Christians that actually our speech is laced with honey. That actually a kind word, a faith-filled word, a wise word can be just as refreshing to your soul as an hour spent with God. And we're going to talk about and unpack some of that this morning as much as we can, that God would allow us to do that. And I think that this message hopefully would be an encouragement to you, but perhaps for some of us, a reminder of the power of our tongue. I think as Christians, the tongue is perhaps the last vestige on the mind, but last vestige of flesh that is so difficult to get rid of. The power of the tongue. And what I mean by that is it's so easy to say something. One little sentence could be three words and do incredible damage. It's so easy for the tongue to be let loose and be this agent of sin that we find so difficult to control. And you can live your entire life as a Christian. You can live for decades coming and to church and reading the word and praying and still not yet have the ability to control your tongue completely. It is grace alone that will, and the fruit of the Spirit really, to have that self-control to be able to tame the tongue. It was John MacArthur said that the tongue is really a highlight. No, it's really a revelation, a revealing of who you really are as a Christian. What comes out your mouth shows off what's in your heart. The words that come out of your mouth, the way that you speak to people, what it is that you say about God, how your language is laced with love, kindness, truth, faith, or the opposite of those things, is really a reflection of your heart. And there is much that we can gain as a church in refreshing one another by having language that is filled with encouragement, that is filled with edification, that is filled with wisdom and faith, and it is absent of gossip, absent of slander, absent of deceit. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. And it'll be on the screen as well. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. And it says there, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Gracious words. Lord, I pray that our words would be gracious words. You see, there is much refreshing that can come when a close friend can speak a gracious word to you in the right time, in the right season, at the right point, and bring about just a revelation of truth, which can be not only refreshing to your soul, but refreshing to your body as well. How many of us have been in those times where we've had a physical ailment? Perhaps we're going through a difficult time or even a mental anguish. And a gracious word spoken in the right time can really bring such great comfort to our souls, to our hearts. You see, even Paul needed encouragement at times. If we turn to 2 Timothy, and it'll be on the screen, 2 Timothy 1, verse 16. This is Paul writing to Timothy, and he says, "May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me," this is the next verse, verse 17, "and found me. And may the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus." See, even the Apostle Paul, when he was in Rome, he was in chains. He was in physical bondage. And a fellow brother came from Ephesus to Rome and refreshed Paul's spirit. How wonderful it is. How blessed are the feet of those who share the gospel. It was so great that this person came to Rome and was able to refresh Paul with his words. You see, what he would have shared was, "Paul, you're doing God's work. Paul, the Lord is glorified. Paul, be filled with faith, brother. Be filled with faith because God is doing amazing things. Jesus is on the throne. Jesus is alive. Be filled with joy." And for someone who's in chains, that refreshment is invaluable. And so I want to draw our attention and let's turn our thoughts and our considerations here inward for a second. And let's look at ourselves and look at what does refreshing speech actually look like. Number one, refreshing speech is encouraging. Refreshing speech is encouraging. We've already read Proverbs 16, verse 24. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. Our words, the way we speak to one another, needs to be encouraging. And it's not just to fellow believers. The Apostle Peter writes, "And let your language be seasoned with salt." I think it's a very similar idea, although a very different taste. But it is something that is tasty. It adds a little bit of interest to your food. If you have food without salt, it can be a little bland. "But let your words be seasoned with salt," is what the Apostle Peter writes. And in the same way, let your words be gracious. Let them be as sweet as honeycomb. Honeycomb obviously being sweet, nourishing to the soul, particularly in this time in the Middle East, honeycomb would have been an incredible sweet thing to have, probably a bit of a delicacy. Our language should be peppered with honeycomb. No pun intended there. Peppered's not the right word. Let's turn our attention there to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21. And it says, "The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense." Encouragement. Encouraging lips help bring life. To encourage literally means to strengthen, to make strong, to hearten. Encouraging words sound like support. Encouraging words sound like hope. Encouraging words sound like what was the other word I had? Confidence. Encouraging words sound like you can do it. God is with you and I'm beside you. Encouraging words are like supports or props, holding up somebody to do the job that they're called to do. Our words should be gracious, bringing encouragement to one another, to hold up one another so that we can continue to do the work of God. Our language should be littered with sweet, gracious words of encouragement. How is your language? How are the words that you're saying? By looking at what encouragement is, I want to reflect on what it is not. Refreshing words are not hurtful words. It's not throwaway comments about someone's appearance. It's not throwaway comments about somebody's look or where they're from. Encouraging words are not insensitive. Encouraging words are not coarse or name-calling. Encouraging words is not sarcasm. I want to particularly speak to husbands and wives this morning, because this is so easy for us. We know each other so well, it's so easy to find the thing which can make the most hurt. Particularly if you're upset with one another, you're frustrated, you're angry, you're feeling like things are not right. The day's not gone well, the kids are mucking up. Husbands and wives, encouraging words is not sarcasm or cynicism. Encouraging words is not gaslighting. Encouraging words build up and support and call for better. Encouraging words do bring truth. Encouraging words bring hope. Husbands and wives, encouraging words are spoken, not silent. In the face of anger or a fight, encouraging words are spoken, not kept silent. Encouraging words are not withheld, they are given. Encouraging words are given without the need to receive them yourself. Encouraging words flow out of the heart of someone who loves and is loved by God. This is a contrast to the world. This is a contrast to sin. Sin would have us withhold our words, or our encouraging words. Sin would have us, and flesh would have us, use bitterness, to use anger, to use biting or harsh words, to cut down, to destroy. That is what the tongue is prone to do without the grace of God. But our words should be honeycomb. Our words should be sweet to the soul. Number two, refreshing speech is edification. Number one, it's encouragement. And number two, it's edification. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The right words spoken at the right time can bring much healing to a situation. Edification is the idea of building up. Encouragement is the idea of supporting what exists. Edification is the idea of building more, to grow spiritually, to be able to take on more. Our encouragement as a group of believers is to encourage and to build up one another. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Proverbs 15 and verse 4 tells us, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." You see, our tongue has incredible power. Incredible power. With the words that you speak, and I might add the way that you speak them, can bring life. Especially words that are filled with faith and truth from God's word. A soothing tongue. I don't know that there's anyone, I've never met anyone who I would say, that person has a soothing tongue. This is an encouragement for us, church, to be slow to anger, to be patient, to be kind, to have a soothing tongue. Because the opposite of a soothing tongue crushes a spirit. If I can speak to parents now, this is something that we need to take into our heart. It can be easy to crush a little spirit, to bring a harsh word out of frustration or anger. It can be easy to for our kids or even just those around us to be able to bring a word that is not soothing, that doesn't build up, that doesn't give life. And in our congregation, in our group of believers, for us as fellow heirs, as sons and daughters of God, as a family group, this is what we're called to do, to bring soothing words. How many people have left a church because the words that have been spoken to them have crushed their spirit? We'll never be perfect. We'll never get it right 100% of the time. Our tongues will always require additional taming until the day on which we meet Jesus in heaven. But until that time, we should continue to train and speak gracious and soothing words. Amen. Number three, refreshing speech is filled with wisdom. Number one, it's filled with encouragement. Number two, it's filled with edification. And number three, it's filled with wisdom. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. The words of the reckless, I've read this, haven't I? Pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 18 and verse 4 tells us, the words of the mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a rushing stream. You see, wise speech is like a deep, inexhaustible stream of blessing. For someone who's able to speak the right word at the right time into your heart can bring unbelievable blessing and truth. A confidant, a mentor, a coach, somebody who can speak into your life. They know the things that are going on. They know the things that make you tick, the things that bring you down, and the wise word can help you avoid a lot of danger. A wise word is also one, and I've mentioned it now a few times, that's spoken at the right time. A wise person knows the difference of when to share a word and it not be accepted, and when to keep back a word for a later time. What I mean by that is, sometimes advice not sought is usually never taken. A wise person knows the time in which to be able to share the truth of God's word. Who is it in your life, church, that you're able to get alongside of, who can speak into your life a wise word to refresh your soul? Parents and grandparents, this is your opportunity, really. Wisdom, a lot of wisdom, fortunately comes with age and experience by God's grace, as long as we're willing to learn from it. Those who might have younger people around them, this is your chance to be able to share wisdom. And the benefit and the reality is that that wisdom needs to be shared at the right time, isn't it? How many times parents or grandparents have tried to share wisdom and it to be unaccepted, not accepted, to be brushed off or even taken as offense. But wisdom, gracious words and soothing words are healing to the soul. How we need wisdom more in our lives. Proverbs 15 and verse 23. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply. How good is a timely word? Now, it feels real good when you give a very quick quip, a witty response, a sharp little response. That's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is not talking about husbands and wives. When your spouse says something to you and you're able to reply real quick and give a little sting, that's not what this is saying. How good a timely word is one in which a word is given prior to danger. A warning before the fall. Advice before the chaos. Something, a timely word that speaks into a life before the cataclysmic event actually happens. Because once that event happens, it needs encouragement and edification. Wise advice can help in the circumstances of a major event, but usually by that time, wise advice is how to rebuild. Wise speech is refreshing. Wise speech is gracious. Encouragement, edification, and wisdom. What is refreshing speech not? That's not how to put it. What is not refreshing speech? That's a better way to put it. Gossip, slander, deceit. Let's look at these three things very, very briefly this morning. Number one, deceit. Proverbs 25 and verse 18. Like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is one who gives false testimony against a neighbor. Deceit, lies, false witness is just as dangerous to the spirit as a club is to the body. Just as dangerous as a sharp arrow is to the body. Refreshing speech is not deceit, even if you think it's a white lie. Refreshing speech is truth, faith-filled, encouragement and kindness. Number two, refreshing speech is not gossip. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 12. Troublemakers and villains, that's a harsh category of people, who go about with corrupt mouths, who wink maliciously with their eyes, signal with their feet, motion with their fingers, who plot evil with deceit in their hearts, they always stir up dissension. I don't wish to be categorized within the category of troublemakers and villains. But one who is a whisperer, a gossiper, is seen here in this passage as a troublemaker. Refreshing words is not a critical word about somebody in secret. They may not hear about it, but God does. Gossip is never life-building. Gossip is never healing. Gossip is never encouraging. You cannot grow in a cynical environment. You cannot grow in an environment of gossip. And lastly, slander. Proverbs 11, verse 9. With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. And Proverbs 26 and verse 20. You can see how many passages are in Proverbs which relate to how we speak. It says a lot about the benefit of controlling the tongue and how important it is in terms of wisdom. 26 verse 20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Slander and gossip typically go hand in hand. It's very rare that you're gossiping about somebody and saying only good things, because you much prefer to say that to somebody in somebody's face, and then you might get some kudos for it. But behind their back, slander, yeah, that's the good stuff. So for us as a church, it's for us to avoid. We've had that time where that person's really ticked us off in church. They'd said that thing. They did that thing. They left the cupboard or the kitchen dirty. They left the stage untidy. Oh, my word. They left the house, dishes on the sink. They left their clothes on the floor. They left the towels on the floor. What else can I think of? They cut you off in traffic. Oh, that's bad. They ran the red light. Oh, that's deserving of slander. But they, all of these things, people can, especially those who are close to us, it's so easy to let a slanderous word come out of our mouth. What a goose. That's my usual one. What a goose. That's not meant with any goodwill or intent. Might sound funny, but slander and gossip. They go hand in hand. It is destructive to a church. The opposite of refreshing speech is destruction, is death. You see, the Proverbs tells us as well that the tongue has both the power of death and life. For us as believers, control of the tongue, refreshing speech can bring life to our community, can bring life to our congregation, can bring life to your connect group, can bring life to your family, can bring life to those that you fellowship with. How much more should our language be sprinkled with grace and truth for us as believers? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, and we'll end with this passage this morning. And it tells us, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that's wisdom, that it may benefit those who listen. Build one another up is edification. According to their needs is wisdom. And the last part there is that the benefit those who may listen is encouragement. This is our language as Christians. Because we as believers have been saved by grace, we have been kept by grace, we must live a life by grace and speak a speech of grace. This can be something that is so easy, so easy for us to be able to think about that person who needs to listen to this message. Oh, that person, I hear them slander a lot. This is not a message for them. This is a message for us. This is a message for us as husbands and wives, fathers, mothers, grandparents, kids. This is a message that cuts right very deep because, as I said at the start, the tongue reveals who we really are. The level of grace, the kindness that actually exists or permeates our heart. This is an opportunity for us to be more like Jesus in really such a simple and practical way. Jesus is our example. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, it's not going to be on the screen, it says about Jesus that they marveled at his gracious words. His speech was everything that I've been talking about this morning, except for the gossip, slander, and deceit. Encouragement, edification, wisdom, truth, faith, hope, kindness, joy. Every word that he spoke, every word that's recorded for us in Scripture is building up, is encouraging, is bringing truth, is bringing conviction, is glorifying God. May we be more like Jesus in the way that we speak, in the way that we talk to one another, in the way that we live with each other. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray that you help us, that your Holy Spirit helps us. We need it so desperately to control our tongue, to bring refreshing speech to another, to bring kind words, to bring encouragement, to bring wisdom. Lord, give us the consciousness, the cognizance to be able to share the right word at the right time, the truth of your Scripture to permeate our hearts and minds to be able to bring that encouraging word at the right time. Lord, help us as families, help all the husbands and wives in this room, help all the mothers and fathers and kids and grandparents to be able to control their tongue, Lord, and let us bring life through the words that we speak. Let us bring truth through the words that we speak and not death, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen.